If you have your Bibles this morning, we are picking a passage. You say, well, I don't know about if that's a Mother's Day passage or not, but it's a passage I've chosen today. Hebrews chapter 11 at verse number 6. Hebrews 11, 6. You know, all the years we've sung songs called on Father's Day, especially Faith of Our Fathers. Well, this is Faith of Our Mothers. You know the power behind the throne. You know who does what they do. And I found this passage and I felt like, you know, this is really probably the strength of most families. That's a sad thing to say, men, but it is true. The strength of most families usually found in the woman. Women, you could amen that. Yeah, okay, all right, unless you're afraid. I've never seen you afraid before, so I don't know why you'd be afraid now. But verse number 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's impossible. We can't live this life. It's impossible to do the very thing that we've come to church for every day that we live, for the very fact that only way that you'll please God is by him. It's by the faith that he initiated in you, by the strength that he gave you to live the life. It's by everything that he has poured into you. Now, my message this morning is really, it's not about my biological mom. It's not about my mother, even though they'll work their way into this. But it's about every true mother. And unfortunately today, I watched people a lot, as you well know. Didn't change my habits while I was at the airport this week. And I'm watching people, and especially ladies, leading up to Mother's Day. I will say that Southwest Airlines recognized all mothers. Yeah, we applauded them, and it was great. It was wonderful. But I was watching a few, and I was sitting there going, that's a mom? I hate to tell you this, but Dad's chasing the kids all over creation. Mom's kicked back with a latte, enjoying life. And I said, well, maybe it's because she does it all the time, and maybe that was the thing. But I kind of got the idea that it might have been something different than that. Your mom may not be living today. Many of us are older. We're not privileged to have a mom here as some would have. But, you know, we have memories. And those memories should be flooding today of all the quality things that your mom gave. All the things that your mother did for you, because that describes what a true mother is. The one that sacrificed, the one that did without so that you would have something. Now, I've been privileged through my life to have a biological mom that went to heaven when I was 15. I don't know where God probably said, man, you better get out of here quick. He's growing up. But I know what she was. She was a worker. She was a provider. Went every day to work an assembly line, you know, that's the next thing on my list. She was a baseball mom. But she was the kind of person that never, ever said, oh, I don't feel like I can go. And that was what ended up how she died, with pneumonia, and still went to work. And it ended up taking her life. Young, vibrant, 41 when she left this world. Tireless, and the thing that she left me most with was a work ethic. It was that this is how it's done. Now, I've been blessed for the past 50 years to have another mom. And this is the easiest because this is a description of a true mom, a true mother. Because all of the things that she has done, the most important, she led me to Christ. I mean, you can't beat that. I mean, everything. Not only has she provided, not only has she done all these things for me, she fulfilled the role of a true mother that nurtured her child in the admonitions of God. Laid out before them the Word of God. My biological mom was great. She was a wonderful person. And she knew Jesus Christ. But we spent very little time in church. But when God moved on her, we spent a lot of time in church. But then it would wane off and we would miss, especially in baseball season. We spent more time out on the baseball diamond than we did anywhere. But maybe you remember your mom today. Maybe she sat beside you at church. I know that when I was in church, my mom had to sit beside me. I knew she would misbehave if she wasn't sitting beside me. You know, that's that pinch, you know, that goes so far. Don't you dare scream, or I'll make it worse when you get home. And knowing my mom, she would have made it a whole lot worse when I got home. She was sitting right there. Maybe she was that mom that tucked you in bed at night. Maybe she was the only one in the family, because guys, I'm sorry, we went through a generation where we didn't say, I love you. But mom did. Dad didn't. Dad didn't say that till I was in college. It was never something that was expressed. She was a mom. A mother is one that takes care of you when you're sick. She's always right there, making sure, get up in the middle of the night, making sure all that. And for my moms, the ones that went to have fun. They enjoyed having fun. You know, you ought to see that one back there drive a car. You want to talk about fun? Terrence thought he was getting smart, get a smart car for it. I said, why not a Corvette? As long as it's not mine. Because I promise you, she knows how to tool down the highway with one. But really what I'm aiming for today is we of an older generation have established our thoughts about our mothers. But the emphasis today is how do our children today, what are they going to think about their mothers? How are they going to see them? What kind of memories are they going to build? Are they going to be able to say that she was exactly the description I just gave you of all the things, the caring, the doing this? Or are they going to see you as so many today, and we see it on TV all the time, a soccer mom running to and fro, nothing more than a taxi, busy here, busy there. Maybe she's a businesswoman. Maybe she's gone when you get up in the morning, doesn't come home till way late at night. Maybe she's out there earning a living. Maybe she's that absentee parent. You know, and a lot of them have to be that because they have nobody. So they hire somebody to take care of the kids, raise the kids while they're off making money to provide, to do. And I'm not condemning any of that. I'm not saying anything. I don't want to make that out as something negative. I want to make it out as a reality of our society today. Maybe for some, she's your best friend. But in that being the best friend, can she still be a parent? Can she still be the person she needs to be? Is your mom active or is your mom lazy? Yeah, that's a question, you know, that only kids are going to answer it someday. Is she sacrificing for you or is she selfish? Does she provide for herself? Is she a drama queen? Or is she that fairy godmother that always sweet and helpful and all the things? I heard a very shocking thing this week and I thought was absolutely crazy, but this is our society, so it shouldn't have shocked me at all. I found out that Disney was shutting down its Snow White ride, shutting it down because he didn't ask before he kissed her. I'm serious. That he took advantage of her when she was in a comatose state. Well, of course, if he didn't kiss her, she wouldn't be alive. You know, they forget that part. And so therefore, no, seriously, Disney is shutting that down. They're going to remove everything that has to do with Snow White. But see where our society is going? But the emphasis more on what are we formulating in our kids and our grandkids? How are we making them think? Who is training our children to think about their mom and dad? Oh, they're not allowed to use that term in school either. It's not going to be mom and dad. It's going to be folks. Could use parents, but I don't even think you can use that anymore either. Will there be a day 20 years from now that we will honor mothers? Will there still be the very things? I can tell you first that what we didn't have as I grew up, and we had a great life. I remember my sister used to say, my childhood was so hard. I said, well, where was I? I had a great childhood. I had all kind of fun, you know, but I made my fun, and we went out and did everything we could do. I know that we didn't have a lot of money. I know that she had sacrificed many times that we would have what we needed. I know that we wore a lot of secondhand things. Yeah, I had older cousins, pass them right on down the line. I know many times I went to school, to any place, with patches on, right on the knees of my jeans. I did all those things because we just didn't have it. Even though both worked hard, we just didn't have it. We were fortunate to have what we had. We didn't have all the modern conveniences. And as I told a young lady one time, her dad was a big attorney, lots of money, and they gave her the grandmother's house. Well, the grandmother's house was a little bit older. It's a beautiful house, still is a beautiful house. But when we went into the kitchen, I was remodeling everything and redoing the kitchen and everything. And she said, "Mama, but where's the dishwasher?" I said, "It's growing on the end of your arms." We didn't have one of those. She had three of them. We didn't have just one. My brother and I. We had three dishwashers. I didn't get to wash very often because I was always told I didn't get them very clean. But I got to dry them and put them away and do all that kind of stuff. We did not have, for the longest time, an electric sweeper. The first sweeper I can remember as a child was bought on a payment plan. It was Electrolux. I don't know how my mom ever talked my dad into buying that thing, but that cost as much as a car. But she did, and I rode that thing just like it was a car. But it was a good one. Lasted a long time, but we had to buy it on a payment plan because we just could not pay for it right out. We didn't have new cars. She never had that. Not till way, way late in life did she ever have anything like that. We had a 53 Oldsmobile, four-door, tank. I promise you this, if it hits you, you're going to hurt. Yeah. Not going to hurt it, but it's going to hurt you. And I proved it by my mom backing out of a very narrow drive and pulled the entire side of the garage down. Hooked the steel bumper on the thing, pulled back, and the haydite blocks fell out and everything. The drawer went, didn't put a scratch on that Oldsmobile. She didn't have social prestige. She wasn't the president of some woman's group. She didn't flaunt in the social circles. She didn't do any of those kind of things. Never held an office. You know, but she volunteered all the time, as if she didn't have enough. Full-time worker, full-time mother, but yet she would volunteer to help anybody at any time. Those are the kind of things that I have to say would fall into the footprint of a true mother. They're the kind of things. But she did not have the pressing issue that my mom now has, and that is to share Jesus Christ. But what did she have? She had a heart for kids. I guarantee you, your kids, her kids, you come to our house. I had cousins there all the time. In a place that we didn't have much, they had less, but they all wanted to come to Aunt Toddie's. That's what they called her. I don't know how she got that name. Maybe she and Uncle Jack got together. Okay. Respect. Uncle Jack, did you get it finally back there in the back? Okay. She had respect. She had appreciation because she was always willing to do things for her neighbors and anybody that came along. She had something that I would say was just simply this. It was genuine. It was absolute genuine. She had a Savior. She had a Savior that she made a commitment to way back and rededicated her life later, many in her mid-30s. But like I said, she only lived to be 41. So the time frame was not over it. I have another mom that dedicated herself as a little girl and has lived it out for 97 years. Amen. And is continuing to do that. Continuing to live out a life that my mom used to say it was an experience of grace. I now being a pastor, and I always tried to figure out, did she know? How did she know? When did this happen? All those kind of things. But then I realized, as the Lord has promised me, one day you'll get that explanation from her when you meet her in heaven. I will get to know that. That I will never, ever lose track of. I will know that to be. She saw herself as a lost sinner. I know she did. No two ways about it. She had some of the strongest convictions about living life. I mean, living it morally, living it out. But my mom now would make sure those convictions were shared with everybody else. That she would tell you about it. Way back when, my biological mom had a soft heart. She really did. She could flail you if you got out of line, but she did have a soft heart. Now, as the years passed by, there's another one back there with a soft heart. Took grandkids to get there. All the rest of us suffered. But she shared, it's true. It's true. I'm not lying. Now she's got all kind of soft heart for grandkids and great-grandkids. All that kind of good stuff. But she shared Jesus, and it softened. She shared the love of the Lord, which made it complete and wonderful. So she had a Savior. She also had a church. Many of you know that I spent a long time, 30 years in the Methodist Church. I mean, that's not shouldn't be a shock to anybody. I mean, this is where I formulated a lot of things. And as a kid, I spent time in a country church. That's what we had, an EUB church, Evangelical United Brethren Church. And it came with wonderful facilities called an outhouse. And a pump, if you wanted something to drink. You went out and you pumped the water. It was great. It was a country church. And you stayed in line because if your mom didn't catch you, somebody else's mom caught you, you're just as dead. I know that doesn't happen around here at all, but that's what it is. She had a good pastor. Really did. We had a great pastor. He was a good friend. And he cared. And he kept us as young people in church. He did things that a pastor does all the time. Now, this mom had a father who was a preacher. So she never got away with anything. Ever. Grew up Methodist Episcopal, mostly in the South. That's what it was called in that day. But it was a place from whether South Dakota or West Virginia, whatever it's going to be, what she had was right there. It was a solid church because my grandfather was a solid preacher. I mean, he could have made it in any Baptist church in America, the messages that he preached, because they were sound, they were godly, it was the Word of God. So she had a habit of being in church, whether she wanted to or not, and I know she wanted to. She had a habit of witnessing to her friends. Is that your mom? Is that what your mom did? Maybe she wasn't as vocal as mine, but I can promise she was a witness of all the things that she had. She would witness of Jesus Christ to the point you were going to find him. The Holy Spirit utilized that. Now, you see, I've described two of my moms in two aspects of their lives. One that a Savior, one that had a church. I don't remember how you're going to see your mom. I don't know what kind of woman she was. Maybe she didn't fall out in the most extrinsic way. But I can say this, you're here today, aren't you? Something must have worked right. Something must have been a difference maker. Something, somewhere, all the wonderful memories that you have to be something so solid that would make sure that you were not going to fail as a mom to train up your children in the way they should go. And how did that come to pass? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why is that? Because he says, you got to believe that God is who he said he was. I don't think you could be a true mother without knowing that. Because the promises of God are true. No mother could really ever, ever think that they'll walk through this world with all the hardship and all the heartache that goes on, especially in the lives of kids, especially young ones, without having a faith in God. Doctors aren't always the answer. Sometimes when you've got little ones, you can't diagnose it because they can't tell you. and you need what these two women had and what your mom probably had, a faith in God. My mom also had faith in the Bible. My mom, not being the greatest churchgoer in the world, but don't you ever say anything negative about the Word of God. She believed it was exactly what it was supposed to be. It wasn't just another book. Now, as kids, I was pretty rough. I'm not going to put my brother in that or sister. But I was mischievous, and I did all the other fun things in life. But you didn't touch the book. You didn't mess it up. You didn't go in there and flip the pages and color in it. That wasn't what you did. It was a family Bible. And you think my Bible's big? This thing probably wouldn't hold that Bible that weighed so much. We used to drop it on bugs. They were definitely dead when it was all done. But there were things within that word that both of my moms stood on. This mom back here has worn out I don't know how many Bibles. She's worn out three that I know of in just the short time that we've been together. Because how do you do that? Well, it wasn't because they got left out in the rain. It's because they're handled all the time of the Word of Life. And I'm talking about good quality stuff. But it's worn out. The covers are worn off. The pages are wrinkled because of being used. They both would agree in the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Never back up from it, never change. It was always going to be that right there. Because they had old-fashioned religion, something we laugh about today. You know, as they said, they supplied the stripes, you saw the stars. One of those kind of deals. And that was my mom. She could definitely do that. But it was a religion of honesty, of purity, and I think that's vitally important. Hard work, truthfulness. That had to be a hallmark of it. Then there was kindness, and there was love. All of those things, both of my moms would say, they came straight out of the Word of God, and they believed them, and they stood on them. They realized, both of them realized, man was a guilty sinner, needed to repent, needed to come to Jesus, needed that the blood of Jesus Christ would cleanse him from all sin. And they both believed that, and they lived after that. They saw Jesus Christ as the divine Savior. They recognized that. Even though one didn't spend a lot of time at church, she knew that she had to repent of her sins before a holy God. You see, there was a lot of qualities that we can see, and she placed her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it made a difference. She certainly believed that heaven was for those that are saved, and you're going to hell if you didn't repent. And she would tell you that straight up. Both of them would. So if you got anyone to blame me, you just blame my mom. She gave it to me. She believed in the truth of this word right here. I know that's not real popular today. I realize that. I realize that people want to walk away from that. They want to question every miracle. They want to explain every phenomena that took place in the Word of God, except for they cannot explain Jesus Christ. They can't explain him. Oh, they can say he was just another person. But that's not the way my mom saw it. They never saw that at all that way. They based everything on the faith that he established in them because they both had a foundation that could not be shaken. Even though we went through rough times as kids, probably not as much as some of you, but they stood on a foundation and they never let that part go because we always had a mom that loved us. We always had a mom that believed in the Word. We always had him when we needed them because they believed that his word would bless them and bless their family. His word would give them strength and would strengthen us one day when they weren't around. His word would guide us as it guided them, and it would be the truth that we need, and we need a bunch more of that today. So they had a church. They had a Bible. They had all the things that would make somebody really, really important. They had a Savior. But they also had something else, and this one right back here had it a whole lot more than my first mom. She had a pathway to the throne of grace. and it's called prayer. You can find her any morning if you got up that early. Kneeling by a couch, praying, reading the word. It was a habit, a godly habit. One that said, read the word of God and then pray. And Lord have mercy, I provided her the strongest prayer life she could ever hope for. Moms need it even more today. They need it. Grandmothers, your grandkids really, truly need your prayer life. They really need you to lift them up because that's where they learn to pray. That's where they learn the importance of prayer because we certainly are facing a wicked world. What is good is called bad, and what is bad, well, we call that normal. And it'll be that way until you make a difference. It's always, men may get the glory, but we really know who's the ones responsible for it. And it's always moms. So there was a pathway, throne of grace, and it was prayer. Not only that, but my mom always recognized that there was a tremendous task to raising kids, especially the last one that came along. And they believed in God's abundant promises for that very task. But they also, both of them, believed that there was no greater job in the world, nothing bigger, nothing more important than being a mom. Both of them worked. Both of them did all those things. They both had full-time jobs. They both limited all the things that would be that were worldly in that regard so that they could concentrate on something else. One of them used to tell me all the time, if you want it, go get it. Go to work. If you want it that bad, you're just going to have to work to get it. The other one encouraged the very same thing, but she was a little bit sweeter about that kind of stuff. I can always put both of them up as examples of today's moms, of what they should be, how they should work and do all those things. He put love in their hearts for the task that they had at hand. Did I realize that at 15 years old that my mom would leave this world? No. If I did, I would probably have been a whole lot better, or at least I'd have been a lot sweeter, not got into so much. But that was her prayer for me, that I would grow up and be good. And God had grace enough to answer that. Well, somewhat. Partially good. The other one came along to make sure that I lived up to the promise right there. You know, to me, there's nothing more sad in this world than a child who does not know that they're loved and accepted in their own home. They don't know if their mom's going to be there. You know, dads can be kicked to the curb most of the time, but moms, that's a different story. Mom has to be there. Mom has to love them. A child that's not wanted is a tragedy. And we've got plenty of that today. We got moms making up the path for two parents over and over again. And they're special that they can do that. It wasn't intended that way. God never intended it to be that. But it led me to the last thing that I believe that my moms both had. They both had hope. They had hope in what God would do. There was no illusion of grandeur. You know, they didn't think I ever was going to be a televangelist. I've been on TV a few times. I have, Walter. 10 Most Wanted. They just wanted me to grow up to be good, honorable, godly. The things that I think every mom is looking for. They want a child that was serving the Lord. Is that what your kids are looking at you about? Is that your prayer for your own kids? Is your prayer, Lord, help me to train up a child in the way that they should go? Yeah. Is that your prayer? Because when they're old, they will not depart from it. They will never, ever escape that early training. And it's not too late, grandparents. You can still have input into your grandkids' lives in spite of what your kids say. You just have it. You give them God. You give them what he would have. You let them see God's grace. You let them see the strength that it takes for a mom to live her life today. You'll get to see what it takes to make the difference, because it is a difficult task and it's getting more difficult every day. The battlefield is bigger. The threats are coming from all sides. Places you would never dream that there would be a threat are becoming a threat today. We need to make a difference, moms. You need to stand in the gap even more. Got to raise up a group of moms that are not into themselves, but they're into their family. Not worried about what somebody thinks about them, but they're worried about what you think about them. So this morning, I leave you with this question. Moms, do you have what it takes to be a true mom? Do you have what it takes? You do if your true father is God. It's right there. He's given all of it. You got a Savior. You got a church that loves you and supports you. You've got faith in the Word of God. You know the pathway to the throne of grace through prayer. You've got all the promises, and they're true for you as they were for every generation before you, and they will be for the future. We have hope. You have hope. And it's not just about eternal life, which we've been promised, but it's hope to live out this life in this world. My friends, it is impossible to please him without that faith. But aren't you glad that there is a Heavenly Father that provides the faith and the strength and the grace to live it? So you're not alone. And moms, I must say, you are making a difference. They may not tell you every day. They may not act like it. They may not show you that you wish they would say more, they say less. But I can promise you this, when they need you, they're going to be calling you. They don't call Dad. They're going to call Mom. And they're going to share who God is in their lives because of you. Please be that true mother. You say, well, I don't have any children. Do you know how many young people you impact their lives, whether you say you're a mom or not, whether you had biological children or not? You impact kids' lives. I hope we do it for the best reason. Even if God has not blessed you with biological children, I can tell you this, and from my perspective, God blessed me with the true mother that I got. 15 years with one that I would not give anything of, but it's just a memory, a distant memory. And 50 years with one right now that every day I am blessed to get to see her. And I know what she stands for. And I know that there'll be one of her grandchild or a great-grandchild, or maybe your grandchild, that will get her as a teacher, and she will pour not only music into their hearts, she will pour Jesus Christ, which is the most important. That's what she will do. Moms, do you have what it takes? I say you do. And don't let anybody lie to you that you don't. Be who God made you to be. I could go back to Proverbs. We go to an ideal woman. I could go anywhere I wanted to go with this, but I wanted to go this. Without what God has given you, it's impossible to please him. But if you can please him, you can please everybody. Right?
Yes.
Let's pray.